and at the distant fleet of the enemy, faintly visible as they rock on the crystal horizon of the sea, and at the streaks of foam on which leap salt bubbles beaten up by the oars. You listen to the monotonous sound of voices which fly to you over the water, and the grand sounds of firing, which, as it seems to you, is increasing in Sevastopol. It cannot be that, at the thought that you too are in Sevastopol, a certain feeling of manliness, of pride, has not penetrated your soul, and that the blood has not begun to flow more swiftly through your veins.
"Your Excellency, you're steering straight into the Kestintin," says your old sailor to you, as he turns round to make sure of the direction which you are imparting to the boat, with the rudder to the right.
"And all the cannon are still on it," remarks the white-headed boy,
casting a glance over the ship as we pass.
"Of course, it's new. Kornilov lived on board of it," said the old man,
also glancing at the ship.
"See where it has burst,"
says the boy, after a long silence, looking at a white cloud of spreading smoke which has suddenly appeared high over the South Bay, accompanied by the sharp report of an exploding bomb.
"He is firing today with his new battery," adds the old man, calmly spitting on his hands. "Now, give way, Mishka. We'll overtake the barge."
And your boat moves forward.